Blog Talk Radio.
Sarah figured out that by switching to MetroPCS, she gets two free smartphones.
Your barbecue ribs are the best.
Take the rest home with you, Sarah.
Just like she figured out that by visiting her in-laws, she doesn't have to cook for the rest of the week. You too figure it out. Get two free 4G LTE smartphones from top brands like Samsung and LG after instant rebate when you switch. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figure it out. Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included. See store or MetroPCS.com for details and terms and conditions.
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Then to Adam, he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Tonight on Mandate Ministries Uncut, we're talking about generational curses and the finished work of the cross. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to another installment of Mandate Ministries Uncut. I'm your host, Nick Danger. Joining me tonight is none other than Franklin L. Cunningham, better known as Frank Billions. Frank, you want to say hey to everybody?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show tonight. Glad to be here, Brother Nick.
Yeah, we got joining us tonight, we got coming off a sabbatical of about a month, the rogue scientist, Dr. John Thomas Childs Jr. will be joining us as well. And we got the black sheep on assignment down in Texas again. I don't know what's going on down in Texas, but it better be something good. That's all I got to say. Stay in Texas. Brother Frank, this thing, I had gotten some calls and some emails, because, the folks, we got some pretty astute followers and some loyal folks that really have been, really supporting us. So I really appreciate that. And I got an email from one of the brothers said, man, one thing y'all ain't really got into, man, is the generation curse thing.
Yeah.
And this one brother had kind of gotten into it with a former pastor of his. Who was basically using it as control, putting fear in the congregation and intimidating folks, threatening them with all manner of evil. And so I thought that I would juxtapose that concept of generational curse against the finished work of the cross. And I'd like to kind of start there tonight. But before I do that, I don't know if you want to just give a brief commentary on that, and so go ahead and knock it out. I'll go ahead and start to dig in, lay the foundation.
Yeah, man, briefly, man, I'm just going to say, man, we need to take our time to dispel, man, this stuff about how these guys is trying to put fear into people, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We serve the Prince of Peace, man.
Yeah.
we supposed to be walking in. We supposed to be teaching and preaching life and peace, walking after the Spirit, man. Not trying to put a curse on somebody.
Exactly.
We gonna rip that curse up tonight.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Hey, and joining us tonight is the Rogue Scientist. Rogue Scientist, you want to say hey to everybody? Y'all remember him, don't you?
Hey, good evening, everybody. Listen to Frank.
You remember this dude?
Frank.
I think you got another radio show. I got some people working on it. I'm gonna find out.
Yeah,
I think you got
another.
I think you got another show, Frank. But anyway, Brother John, we're talking about you know, we put something together tonight, so let's go ahead and talk about the generational curses and against the finished work of the cross. Okay, look. This is my personal stance. Ezekiel 18, God did away with general curses as such because they are illegal. I would say absolutely illegal and underscore that in the life of any person, okay, that is proclaiming to be a follower and a believer of the belligerent Christ. The curse or curses were rendered of no effect because of the finished work at the cross, because of the submission and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's illegal. If you are a follower and you still believe in curses, then you're a hoodwink.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm gonna stop there for a second. Go ahead, man.
Right off the bat, man. Right off of Jump Street, man. We have to let the listeners know that the Word of God says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
Right.
All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
If we're walking in Christ, and you're in Christ, if you can be cursed, that means Christ can be cursed.
That's very well said, Frank.
Come on, man.
Very well said. We got to say it, man. I wanted to establish that. Hey, and I got news for y'all. That's the foundation right there. Listen, man, the finished work of Golgotha Hill, brother. That's it. That seals it. Okay, look. Let's go. Listen, I can't repent on behalf of brother Frank. I can't repent on behalf of brother John. Black Sheep, Samson, Zion. I can't. As much as I love them, brothers, I can't repent on their behalf. If we could do that, if we could repent on somebody else's behalf, the whole world would be saved in about 30 seconds.
Amen to that.
Okay, how about this? Jesus, I plead your blood and repent for all the sins in the nation and all the nations around the world. Please save and forgive these people now. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all need to stop that. Any of y'all praying like that, y'all need to cut that foolishness out. I'm sorry, but that's not biblical. Some of y'all going to call that intercession. I'm going to talk about that for a second. But that's entirely opposite of what the New Testament teaches us. But look, the Bible says in Romans 10, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's an individual assignment. It doesn't say everyone who calls on the name in behalf of someone else calling on the name of the Lord will be saved. In other words, Frank can't call on God to save me and expect a result.
No.
Frank can't believe God for me. Frank and John are not the conduit to my salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all call that intercession because y'all in kindergarten. I told you I'm going in, man. I told you I'm the eye of the tiger in 2013. They better back up off me. If you still praying like that, you need to get you some cookies and one of them little carton, red and white cartons of milk.
Hey, but Nick, all of this feeds into this entire national dispensation of laziness.
Yeah.
Somebody else can do something for me. Let me call the pastor for the bunion on my toe. Let me call the deacons to help me pray because my utilities are due. Let me call the minister. I mean, all this stuff, I mean, it's like Frank said, man, you know, look, God didn't put us in these messes. We did. We made these decisions.
Yeah.
That's point blank, man.
And Brother Nick, you're so right, Brother John, man. That's why he said in his word to, and they get this twisted because they say it wrong. Because they want to put the people in fear, they say that you gotta confess your sins.
Wow.
But God never said that in his word. He said confess your faults.
Yeah.
Look, Nick, there isn't anything you can do about my sin.
Not one thing, bro.
Thank God he has somebody to take care of that for us. But if I come to you and say, Brother Nick, man, you know, man, I need you to kind of pray with me, man, be encouraging to me, man, because, you know, I have a lust problem, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, man? I'm struggling with that.
Yes, sir.
You know, I want you to be in prayer with me, man, because I really want to get out of this mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's confessing my fault to you.
Yeah.
Only Jesus can take away your sin.
That's what the Word of God says.
But we still have folks trying to put people or keep people in sin.
Hey, you know,
hey,
what?
That's big business, brother. I was just going to say the same thing. It's all that's good business.
Oh,
wow. Good business. About that. Bub, Dan, down in the.
You're breaking up a little bit, Johnny. I don't know if you need to find a little bit better location or be a little still, one of the two.
Okay.
That's better right there. Go ahead. Say what you just said again, please.
Yeah, I mean, just Beelzebub is dancing down in Hades, man. Hell and sin is good business.
Yeah. So the Bible says that, and we stand in Romans 10 for a minute, and this is not Romans Road qualifying statement. This is not Romans Road.
Yeah.
I'm reading the scriptures out of the book of Romans, verse 10, chapter 10, he says, how then can they call on one they have not believed in? Now, I'm not going to go fast. Paul says, you can't intercede for somebody that don't believe in God. He just said right here. He said, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? He's talking about the people that don't believe. Look, he goes on to say, and how can they believe in one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? These are not rhetorical questions, people. These questions are targeted directly to an individual who is in a quandary over whether or not they believe in the Lord God or not. Paul was not mealy-mouthed and wishy-washy about his gospel.
No.
These are direct indictments on your individual choices. Either you believe or you don't. So consequently, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're not hearing Christ, you don't believe. See,
man, how
well,
about
let
that?
Me let me go a little deeper. Because you're sitting in church on Sunday, and this is not every church, but this is getting to be just about every one of them. if you are hearing your preacher, that does not necessarily mean you're hearing Christ.
Oh, man.
Because there are many preachers who are sons of perdition, according to what the word says. That means sons of death, sons of evil. So workers of iniquity, witches, warlocks, demons.
So I'm gonna be John tonight.
Come on, be John.
So you mean to tell me my pastor's not speaking the word of God to me every time he opens his mouth up?
You better test it. You better test it. And the only way you can test it is if you know yourself. And the only way you're going to know yourself is if you spend time in the Word and develop a relationship. Listen, immediately, if I said something crazy, y'all would jump down my throat. I wouldn't be able to get it out of my mouth. Like Jesus committed suicide. Isn't that right, Frank and John?
Yeah.
How long would it take before y'all was hanging the phone on me?
Nick don't flip.
So he lost his mind. Okay. So let's put this in a nice tidy box and tie the bow nice and tight. The Bible says in the New Covenant that the Lord Christ, Lord Jesus, the believing Christ, became a curse for us in Galatians 3:13. Wow. That means he took upon the curse is plural, meaning all curses.
Yeah.
Both foreign and domestic. Because, you know, folks would go try to conjure up something from over in Transylvania and try to get at more validity, like it got more power coming from over there, Romania or something.
I like that.
Foreign and domestic curses.
You know, because a lot of them preaching saying, you know, this word is for the people here in the United States. This ain't for the people over there in Cambodia somewhere.
Exactly. I know you're going to pick up on that. I appreciate you catching that one.
Okay.
We have to
preach a different message over there, you know, because
Yeah.
we can't preach the tithing message over there. you know, tithing don't work. The tithing message don't work over there. You know, bring $1,000 to the altar, having $1,000 line, that doesn't work over there. it's supposed to be the same gospel now.
Yeah. You can't tell them Nigerian preachers that. They worse than T.D. Jakes and a couple of guys. These cats, they done gone crazy over there. So Christ, Brother John, when the Word of God says Christ became a curse for us, what does that mean to you?
That Christ
That's Galatians 3 and 13.
Curse.
Christ became a curse for you. For you, I'm talking about. You personally.
Curse for me.
Okay,
is that what you're saying?
Huh? You breaking up a little bit, Frank? Well, Frank, why John gets this technical difficulty? You want to take that one?
Okay, we're getting a lot of feedback. But, he's saying that, you know, he's exchanging places with me.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, he said, I'm willing to become poor so you can become rich. So, Brother Nick, if Jesus were willing to become poor so I can become rich, what in the world am I walking around poor-spirited for?
Exactly.
Why am I walking around with a defeated mentality? How in the world are you going to preach to God people about a defeated mentality when Jesus done exchanged places with us?
Exactly.
Come on, man.
So you had just alluded to a few minutes ago, you said all things have become new, referring to 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, that what I see in this is that a believer's life, we're not talking about Christians, we're not talking about believers, and we say all the time on mandate that Christians follow their pastors and believers follow the belligerent Christ. So a believer's life should change because he or she is being transformed into the likeness of Christ. Instead of living for yourself, the believer lives for Christ. Okay? Instead of evaluating others with the values of the world, a believer looks at the world through the eyes of faith, because faith is the currency of the kingdom.
That's it. That's it, man.
That's where I'm at right now. That's where I'm at because our bloodline now, I'm talking right now, our bloodline goes straight to the Father. Our bloodline, because the Bible says we are joint heirs with Christ. In order for you to be an heir, somebody has to die. In order for the will of the Father to be transferred to the Son, somebody has to die. Death activates the codicil or the agreement. Christ's death gave us access to eternal life. Christ's death gave us the blood transfusion that will sustain us eternally and gives us a direct connection to the Father, who I assure you has no generational curses.
Wow. Brother Nick, man, and to bring that home, man, I looked this up. I forgot where I found it at. I wish I had that place where I found it up, but I had looked this up a while back about Jesus' tomb. Okay, in Israel, there's a place called, I think it was called the Garden Tomb. That's what the information said, the Garden Tomb. And you can actually visit Jesus' tomb there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it says that right there at the doorway, when you enter to go and see Jesus' tomb, it says, "He's not here. He has risen," just like he said.
Uh-huh.
It's a little sign there. There's no need to go looking for the dead.
They said Jesus ain't there, huh?
He's up there.
That's fine. Yeah.
The curse, look, and he took all the curses with him.
Yeah. You ain't happen to see no curses in that tomb, did you?
Nick, they go.
Curses is heavy, you know. Maybe Jesus couldn't carry them curses with him where he was going.
No, not where he was going.
Hey, man, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, man.
Is the road sciences back yet?
Hey, can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
Now.
You're clear.
All right.
Okay, and to top it all off, right, Jesus never even remotely insinuated. I'm saying this because this is funny. That's why I'm laughing, y'all. It's serious, but it's funny to me. That any of the sick people whom he healed were sick because of the sins of their family members.
No.
Do y'all remember anything about Jesus insinuating any people he healed that they were sick because their fathers did something crazy? As a matter of fact, there's biblical proof, or at least a biblical inference, I'll say this. In John chapter 9, okay, because one of the disciples inferred this, but Jesus quickly corrected him in John 3:9-3. He said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned."
Yeah. That's the word.
Okay. See, what I'm saying that specifically because the popular lie and the false teaching and preaching is that God allowed the man to be born blind for his glory. And that's a bunch of bull.
Mm-hmm.
Wee. That too much for you? I know I'm upsetting the religious. I hope I am.
Oh yeah, they
God
growling
did not
at
allow
the
that man. to be born blind for his glory. God don't need nobody to be born. The fact that he was born is a miracle. That glorifies God right there. No matter if he was born retarded.
That's the glory right there.
Yeah. Okay.
Look, the glory is that I'm able to see a blind man.
That's it. So I'm saying this. I'm saying the generational curses are entirely illegal in the kingdom of heaven. And no amount of your repentance or confessing or fasting or praying or laying on hands or barking at the moon or running around the church to a Hammond organ is going to get rid of them. The only thing that's required is for you to understand that they are illegal and that they have no power or authority in the life of a believer. It's as simple as that. We can actually end the show right now. But I want to go on. Some more stuff I want to talk about. Okay. One of the favorite scriptures of the bootleg pastor that the matter of fact, let me get it. I'm gonna pull it out. Let me ask you guys a question while I look for this, because I want y'all to talk about you and I want to ask you or John.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're talking about the finished work.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about the finished work at the cross. And when you two guys hear, John, I want you to go first, or Frank, you go first, whatever one of you guys will go first, don't matter. When you hear me say the finished work at the cross, what does that mean to you? The finished work of Christ at the cross of Calvary. And I'm looking for my scripture right now.
That means everything was clear.
Exactly. Finished is finished.
I'm moving too fast. Slow down a little bit. I ain't found my scripture yet.
Oh, we don't have no paper shuffling. What you doing?
I got my scripture now. I just messed with it. I found it.
Yeah, why are you doing that?
I got it. But go ahead.
I think they're trying to convince people that, you know, because for a generation, your grandmama, your mama, you, and your daughter were broke. They calling that a curse.
Oh man!
See, all the women in the family have been broke for generations. Said grandma.
That's a curse, man.
They calling that a curse, man.
Well, Frank, it may not have seemed like it, but I was paying attention to you at the financial literacy seminar this last weekend. And
yeah.
I heard you say on 17 different occasions, it ain't a generational curse, it's about generational choices.
That's it.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So let's talk about that for a minute. Since John wrapped his up in 3 seconds, talking about it, finish is finished.
That's it, it's finished.
let's talk about that for a minute.
Let's talk about the generational curse versus the generational choice.
Yes, man, because, you know, just because my granddaddy was broke and my daddy was broke doesn't mean Frank Billion's going to be broke.
Exactly.
I had to make a choice to be broke. But for the record, my granddaddy and my daddy wasn't broke. But even if they were broke,
if they were,
I had to make the choice that I wasn't going to be no broke brother walking around here.
See, man, that is so beautiful that you said it. See, because I love this. Man, this word is just so full, pregnant, man. In John chapter 10, John's talking about, he's giving an eloquent picture of Jesus as the true shepherd. He talks about Jesus as the good shepherd. But then he talks about how the shepherd knows his sheep. Right? And then he talks about the renewed efforts to stone Jesus. Now they go from Jesus being, I'm just showing you how people are. They go from Jesus being the true shepherd to the good shepherd to the shepherd knowing the sheep. They want to stone Jesus because they weren't ready for the revelation of Jesus being sure in himself of who he is and who God says he is. See, Jesus told them he was on assignment from God. And at their little church games, he's speaking to the Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes. He said, look, I mean, y'all church games is of non-effect. He said, because he says this. In verse 10, he said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd. Ooh, man. One who does not own the sheep. One who does not own the sheep. Man, I'm telling you, it would be a Hammond organ riff right there. I'll do it myself. Y'all miss y'all cue. He said he sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them.
Man.
I'm making a point. I'm done after this. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Jesus says some hard stuff. This is why 2 minutes later they was ready to stone him. That's why I call him the belligerent Christ.
Hey, brother.
Y'all hireling, man. He said, y'all hireling.
You know, them folks wasn't afraid to pick up a rock.
No, man. They pick up a rock in a minute.
Hey, absolutely. And what did they do? Not only they pick it up, Brother Nick, they're going to hit you with them.
They said they reasoned among themselves how they would kill Jesus. Listen, man, a cat got to make you mad. Real mad. You want to stone this dude to death. Now, that's some horrible stuff. Now, we kind of smooth over that.
Yeah.
You know, you got to really pummel somebody with some rocks to kill them, man.
Right. But Brother Nick, let's just think about it for a minute, man. Before the guy started saying what he was saying, they liked him.
Yeah. They loved him.
They was loving the dude, man. Then all of a sudden he started saying stuff that sounded a little crazy to him.
Yeah.
They went from being lukewarm to getting ready to kill this dude, man.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, that let me know, Brother Nick. That's why we understand that. See, this is a word planet. Things are, our words are powerful.
Yes.
Whoever say words will never hurt you, they are lying.
Yeah.
Words will get you killed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Words will get you killed around here.
Absolutely. Quick, fast, and hurt.
And but Jesus, the belligerent Christ, he wasn't afraid, man.
No.
And we're even gonna get into a little bit, Brother Nick. And I've been in my meditations with this about the generational Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
We're gonna help the people out with the generational Christ Jesus.
Well, you know what? I want to make one more point, and if you don't mind, we can go there right now because we don't have no agenda. We're on the Holy Ghost agenda all the time. Okay. I just want to talk about. Okay. We have, for those of y'all just joining us, we thank y'all so much for joining us. We are dispelling the myth of generational curses as they exist in the kingdom of heaven. We're saying that they do not exist in the kingdom of heaven. If you're a born-again believer, it is illegal for you to accept the notion that somebody could curse you. If you do, we're saying that you are not a son of God and that you are rendering the Jesus' work on the cross of non-effect. Jesus said, I became a curse so that you will live. And we're saying now, bringing everybody up to speed, thank y'all for calling in and thank y'all for listening. We're talking about now, Brother Frank, isn't it? Interrupt this madness and go right into this generational Jesus. Now I got my popcorn, and you go ahead.
All right, man. Let's take our time with this a little bit, man, to bring people up to speed, man, a little bit.
Yeah.
I just feel a push to just kind of do this right quick. Okay. See, God thinks generationally. See, he's always looking at the third and fourth generation, you know what I mean, as the children that hadn't even been born yet.
Yes.
They're in his mind.
Yeah.
So, you know, while we wasn't even born yet, God was thinking about us. It was God who brings his sons together. So the earth, I mean, man, I started looking at this stuff. They, you know, Nick, they said they found like bones of animals and mosquitoes and stuff 10, 20 billion years ago. Okay, look, Brother Nick, I submit to you that, Brother John, Jesus was here before the foundation of the world.
Yes.
Listen, Brother John, the Rome scientists know about time and how far we don't. I mean, John, you might know the time when God decided to just to spin the earth into motion. I'm talking about way back there, right?
Yeah.
Look, I'm not talking about this. What I'm getting to, I'm not talking about this. See, we done fell in love with this 6,000-year-old Jesus.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about the 10-billion-year-old Jesus.
There you go.
Oh, he just got the road scientists to stand up on that one.
What about the 10-billion-year-old Jesus?
Oh, yeah. Now you're talking, Frank.
See, we're so beneath in our thinking, we think that the white Jesus that's been painted in front of us is the Jesus.
Yeah.
What about the black and the Asian Jesus 50 million years ago?
Yeah, watch yourself.
What about the Jewish Jesus that was 20 million years ago? What about him? We forget about that Christ right there. Look, man. Y'all very well know now. Now, Brother Nick, I was listening to you last night, Brother Nick, on the Brother Zion Speak, man. Y'all went in on it.
Yes, sir.
But it was good just to sit in and listen, man. I started to punch that button hard. but I grabbed my popcorn. I was sitting back just enjoying myself listening to y'all last night. And you said something that was prolific, man. You said that it's a fraud. Look, man.
Take your time.
Look, man. The only thing folks have done is try to mimic what already had been done already.
Yes.
See, God knows that throughout all of these earth ages, we're going to need a Savior.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to need a Christ to come and help us out. But we don't have sense enough.
Yep.
But that's why they didn't want us to learn how to read, though.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't make a difference if I learned how to read or not. Because Christ then died for me 50 billion years ago. Look,
Frank,
look.
Frank, you're killing it, man. You're freaking killing it, man.
Me.
Hey, the Bible said, Frank, listen, I can't take this, man. I got
go
to
go ahead,
this.
Man. Go ahead.
The Bible says that the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world.
That's what he said.
That wasn't 6,000 years ago. God, listen, God, this is what I'm calling. Is it too hard to hear me calling this premeditated murder on God's behalf?
Yeah, man.
God had already planned his death from the foundation of the world.
Man,
goes,
come on, man.
Which goes to point to your point, Frank, that he's been a generational Jesus.
Yep.
Listen,
yeah.
You got to understand time is of no effect in eternity.
No way, man.
And that's why he can say, I have slain him from the foundation of the world, because that didn't have nothing to do with time.
That didn't have anything to do with it, man. Listen, there's no time in God.
What God is saying is that he has always been the Lamb of God.
Oh, go ahead.
Hey, and don't forget, since he's the the purveyor of generations, he is also the one that has smite and snipped off generations. So don't think he'll kill your Uncle Jim so Uncle Jim can stop abusing, his stepdaughter Susan, because he's got plans for Susan.
Right. Yeah.
God don't care. Jesus doesn't care who they got to kill. Like you said, get the generational agenda he has out in the far future. He don't care who he got to kill to get there.
No, man.
As a matter of fact,
nothing can stop it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And just like what you said, John, he'll go as far as killing everybody.
Sure. Yeah, God don't have no problem with that.
He'll go as far as shutting the whole thing down just to get his word, not to come back to him void.
Frank, I don't want you to go too fast because we got some callers. I'm going to get to y'all in a minute, but we got to finish this point here because we in a row right here. Y'all got me excited. I had to just take my sweatshirt off. Y'all got me sweating up in here now.
Brother Nick,
Listen, I got to ask you a question. Are you saying that God is so bad? When I say bad, so I'm talking about bad, good. That he can say, I like an artist, if you were sketching a notepad and you made a mistake or you didn't like the way that the drawing was going, the thought that you would give to crumbling up that piece of paper and starting a new sketch, that's about how much thought God gave to blowing up the world and starting over again on several occasions, not just one.
That's about it right there. That's about the as much thought that he gave, man, to whitewash the whole thing out and start doing what he want to do.
Mm.
Brother Nick, we know just from our little Bible, look, the little word that we have read, you know, because we don't have it all, of course. But just on the little word that we have right here, Brother Nick, that we call the Bible, right? It's three generations right there. It's three earth ages. He started over three times right here in our Bible.
Yeah, before you get to Genesis 2.
That's what we
said. I know that upset some folks. They got everybody scrambling to go get their Bible.
They done missed that. They been missed that, man. They 60, 70 years old still haven't figured that out.
So, Frank, so wait a minute. You mean to tell me, Brother John, I'm going to ask you this question. You're a resident scientist. You mean to tell me that for the years previous to the 6,000 years of this last modern mankind thing, we'll get into that a little bit too, from Adam, for those previous thousands and thousands and thousands of years that God never spoke to nobody?
Come on,
man. Of course he did.
If God was silent for... they say the earth is what, 4 or 5 billion years old, just planet Earth? I don't know, just roughly. I don't know the exact age, but that's your area.
Yeah. That's roughly 4.5 billion, yeah.
So you telling me, Brother John, that God was silent for 4.5 years to Jesus? Is that
what
you're trying to tell me?
The heck no.
He wasn't talking to nobody else?
Man, he was
he
all
didn't create
over the
nothing
place.
In 4.5
He was talking,
I can't
he was talking to
God
everything, man.
Something in 4.5 billion years.
Mm-mm-mm.
Listen, I said that he created the entire earth in 6 days. You mean to tell me he ain't do nothing for 4.5 billion years? That's all I want
to say.
Just a question. John, I'm not looking for you to answer that. That's a rhetorical question for our listeners. I know you can't answer that.
Hey, look, the only people who think God was silent for all that time are Christians. All the other races, all the other religions, all the other, you know, tribes of the earth going back for thousands of years. I'm not talking about a couple. I'm talking about 20 to 50,000 years ago have all heard from God. But since Christians don't acknowledge that, they missed the boat. They're from another show.
That's something there, man. That's something. So listen, let's do this. I'm going to take a caller, okay?
Yes, sir.
I got a call from 864-981. Welcome to Mandate Ministries Uncut. You got a question?
Right on there.
Hello?
That's
you got a question, 864-981?
Mm-hmm.
No, I guess they just left. All right. Let me take another call here. Good evening. Welcome to Mandate Ministries Uncut. I got a call from 980-406. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Big Brother Nick. How you doing? Brother Frank, Brother John, how y'all feel?
Good evening, sir.
All righty, man. Y'all right there on it, man. I clear that painting of Jesus. That's a Michelangelo painting, but I ain't want to get nothing started. But a lot of people don't believe that, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know how you come from that part of Africa and be that color. But, you know, moving right along, a lot of people don't get it. It's not wearing no cross on your neck. It's not hollering no songs on Sundays. It's not quoting no scriptures. See, once you praise what came from God and not God, that's when you miss your mark. A lot of people don't believe that, but you know, like you said, a typical Christian will think you're crazy.
Yeah.
But you know, I was taking a look at Constantine. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah.
Yes, he came up with a whole lot of stuff that just was blowing people's minds.
Yes, sir.
And paganism and Christianity.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, you know, that's not the nature of you. And I told a man that he always, there's something wrong with you. I said, well, you tell me something wrong with me, tell me how it goes to get a woman pregnant. You know, while we there. So, you know, I'm not trying to be funny or nothing. I told him the earth and the moon was one planet. That's not true. I said, look it up yourself. I said, they found dust on rocks or gunpowder.
Yeah.
I said, why you don't want to know about your own stuff? But you chase stuff that don't make no sense. See, the reason why they want us to read, like you said, Brother Frank, for once we'll know about us.
Yeah.
You know, my people beating on rocks and beating on wood and sticks over in Africa. They wouldn't run no school. Oh, you got to go to school to know something. That's something they came up for more debt. That's another form of slavery.
Yeah.
Like Cardinals, debt. That's another form of slavery.
Yeah.
Tie you into some economy. The Latin word is economy. And you concerned, you the one that is concerned why the sun came close to the earth, not me, because I have melanin in my skin. I'm not concerned with it at all. But, though, you try to put that inside my head and make me run around. Global warning, shut up, you're black. You got melanin in your skin.
That's foolish.
But, you know, I'm going to let that go and walk out the door. Y'all doing a wonderful job.
Amen.
And I thank you guys for this platform so we can speak our minds. Thank
Amen.
You.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, man. Thank you.
Yeah, peace.
All right, bro.
You too.
Man, this is good, this generation of Jesus, because, Frank, I thank you for being obedient to the Holy Spirit, man, for talking about that, because we're talking about, see, the Lord, think about God. I'm talking about God, Yahweh. I'm talking about the ultimate supreme being, his compassion and grace.
Yeah.
And his patience. You know, let me back up just a little bit. One of the doctrines that talks about the generational curse, just taken entirely out of context, this is one of the favorite ones. Now, this is like touch not thine anointed. This is right up there with that one.
Yeah.
Exodus 34:7. This is very important. I'm about to say Exodus 34:7b. This is the second part of the scripture. Okay. This is where they always start. That takes the context of generational curses out of context and nullifies and denies the work of the cross of Christ. Here it is. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. How many of y'all have heard that?
I don't heard that a lot.
At least 1,000 times. You've been going to church many more than a year. You done heard it at least 10, 15 times. Because this is usually on the back of some tithing.
Yeah.
On one of the tithing scriptures, you're going to get Exodus 34.
Yeah.
Okay, this scripture right here is one of the main verses that they use to support the doctrine of generation curses. The trouble is, those who teach it leave out the context of the verse, which actually shows that God is good. Let's go to the first half of the text. The first half says this, the Lord, two times now, the compassionate and gracious God, that's three times, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents of the third and fourth generation. Now, this was the context of it. If you read the first part of it with the second part, it changes the whole context. That's why you're never going to hear part A of that scripture.
Yeah.
Can I read one more real quick? Deuteronomy 5 and 9.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy 5 and 9 says this. You shall not bow down to them who worship idols, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. I know y'all heard this one. Punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Wait a minute. Notice it says of those who hate me.
Yeah.
Of those who hate me. So if you're a believer, I certainly hope you don't hate God.
Come on, man. Come on now.
Religion always quotes half a verse. That's what religion does.
Wow.
How about that?
Brother Nick, why you don't want to let me know the truth, man? Tell me the truth. What? You don't have to keep anything from me. You know what I mean? I want life and peace. How is it that, Nick, you're going to be a lover of the Lord God, a son of God, and God is love, and you don't want to show me love?
Wow.
Love will have me reaching out to you, man, and helping you along, man. Come on, man. No, you're doing that the wrong way, man. Come on. That ain't what it says, man. It says this.
That's exactly,
I mean,
right.
You're on a platform where we're supposed to be, they ministering and preaching and supposed to be telling people the truth and to lift them up, man.
Yeah.
Let them know what Christ is about, man. We supposed to be empowering people, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But we keeping them down, man, for that almighty dollar.
Yes, sir. It is critical to note. The one thing that I'm focusing on right now, we're talking about this. I love the term that the Holy Spirit gave you, this generational Jesus, because the one thing that you can do to somebody who's ignorant, let me back up a little bit. I told y'all, I didn't let the cat out the bag. I told y'all I'm writing my eighth book. Okay. My eighth book is called Hope Peddlers.
Yeah.
H-O-P-E, Peddlers, P-E-D-D-L-E-R. And Hope Peddlers is about, the subtitle of the Hope Peddlers is, okay, how the prosperity gospel has corrupted the influence, integrity, and witness of the institutional church. That's the whole title.
Yeah.
And today I was working on a chapter. I'm talking about how trust gets manipulated so easy. For instance, if you have a baby, I'm talking about a newborn baby. Once he gets to know who you are, the baby extends his hands to you to let you, because he can't talk,
mm-hmm.
to let you know he wants you to pick him up.
Mm-hmm.
That baby, if that baby thought for 1 second you was going to slam him to the ground as you pick him up, he wouldn't extend his arms to you.
No way.
I'm going somewhere. Okay, so what I'm saying is when a new believer comes into the church, the assumption is that when he's extending his hand for somebody to pick him up, he's not expecting anybody to body slam him.
That's right.
In other words, when somebody trusts you, or when you have the trust, or when you earn the trust of somebody, you can pretty much take them anywhere you want them to go, tell them anything and they will believe you, and ask them to do anything for you and they will do it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the manipulation and witchcraft that's going on in institutional church through the prosperity gospel. And it's because of that manipulation of trust that so many people have been broken to the point where they have no fight left. So when we're talking about tonight, I'm saying all this to say this. The individual man that is in the mindset of a defeated Christian is susceptible to all the things that come along with the mindset of accepting what a general curse is, that will actually believe, because Papa was an alcoholic and Grandpa was an alcoholic and his daddy beat the hell out of his mama, that's what he's going to do. So his fear perpetuates that thing which he fears the most. That's what the Bible says. The thing you fear the most, that's what you do.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm.
And so my great-great-granddaddy is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't got nothing to do with Nick Morrison. Because my granddaddy was worthless, my great-granddaddy was worthless, and my daddy was worthless.
Yeah. And
I made a choice. You're talking about generational choices versus generational curses. I made a choice. I wasn't going to divorce my wife. I wasn't going to beat my wife. I wasn't going to abuse my wife. I wasn't going to be an alcoholic. I wasn't going to be no drug addict. I was going to live beyond the age of 42, like none of them did.
That's it.
Go ahead, Frank.
That's the Christ, man. That's the believer that I'm talking about right there. See, Jesus even knew that, and he said it. When the guy tried to call him good master or something, he said, why you call me good? There's only one that's good, and that's God the Father, man.
Yes.
We're supposed to be godly. That's what God called us to be. To be like God is to be godly.
Yes.
So that means that, Brother Nick, in order for you to not be worthless and to do good, that means that the good God had to be inside of you.
Yes.
See, it's God inside of you working out the goodness. It's not you.
Exactly.
It's because of the Christ that's in you that's doing it. The Christ made his abode in you so you would do those things that you said you did, you have done. But it was up to you to make the choice to believe in the belligerent Christ, though.
Exactly.
Look, we're talking about the 4.5 billion years old Christ.
That's
we're not talking
Christ.
About the 6,000-year-old Christ now.
That's an old Christ.
Come on, man.
Listen, so Frank, listen, one of my favorite names for God is the Ancient of Days.
The Ancient what?
Of Days.
Okay.
D-A-Y-S. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Ancient of Days. This Christ exceeds the 4 billion-year-old Christ.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
This is the we have to give you a point of reference. We gotta start somewhere because you say eternal people that fly with folks here.
Yeah.
So we're gonna give some chronology to it. 4.5 billion years. That's still quite a long time. I want to take a call, and then I want to transition into a new area. Let me take a call. Yeah, I got a call. I know you've been holding. Down in the loo. We're gonna get you on. I know it's one of my cousins dying in the loo. I gotta call him 864-525. I know you're calling from the loo. What's up?
Let me in.
Uh-oh, big bad Donnie.
Hey brothers, man, how y'all doing, man?
Good, man, good.
Man, amen. God tell us to feed his sheep, man, and that's what y'all doing, man. Feeding them sheep, bro. Man, y'all really encouraging not only the hearers, but also brother like me. You know what I'm saying? Just speaking in love, man. Y'all shedding light on darkness, man. I just want to just love on y'all, man. Just encourage y'all constantly, man. Encourage the listeners, man. I just love what y'all doing, man. I'm just. Grateful. I just been missing y'all brothers, man. I'm gonna come up tomorrow, so
yeah.
Hopefully, you know, we'll get together, man. But
you got to do the word.
Oh yeah, we ain't gonna let that.
Yes, man.
He might not tell us nothing, Donnie. So I'm glad you told us because we sure want to find out about it. Man, Donnie was up here on Friday. No, I'm sorry.
Frank,
man,
you just threw you
under the bus,
Frank.
I'm sorry, I got caught up. I'm sorry. I'm thinking we're sitting here talking to each other around your table, man. I'm sorry. Frank, forgive me, man.
Yeah, you're good, man. You're good.
All right.
You're good.
So, Donnie, let us know, man. I'm going to call you after the show, though, because I know Frank ain't going to tell me nothing.
I'm going to make sure we know, man. We all know. We get together, man. We can. But I love y'all, man. Just keep doing your thing, man. I'm with you, man. Love y'all, brother.
Okay, man.
Hey, thank you, man. We love you back.
All right,
bro. Bless you, man. Tell everybody we say hey down there, man.
I will, man. I will. God bless
you,
man.
Hey, man, do you know that a thief, I'm going to say two things. A thief has no rights.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
The Bible says that, okay, a thief has no rights. This is what Jesus said. I'm making a statement, but I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I just got finished telling you that a thief has no rights. That's what the Holy Spirit told me to tell y'all.
Yeah.
How is a person who has no rights, how he going to take something from you?
Oh, no.
How can somebody take something from you that don't belong to them?
That's right.
Let me be more specific. How is somebody going to take your Jesus away?
Because no way.
The thief, he has no right.
He has no right to.
First thing I'm going to say. Second thing I'm going to say, the soul who sins will die.
Yeah.
The one who does not receive Christ's atoning sacrifice for sin will not enter into eternal life. So each individual, again, is responsible. Okay, listen. Let's talk about what intercession is not. Intercession is not this blanket canvas that you can just cast over the whole world and just say all kind of whatever comes out your mind. You have to understand that, and not everybody is going to make it through. You got to be comfortable with the fact that the overwhelming majority of folks are going to die. That the overwhelming majority of people are not going to see eternal life, that the overwhelming majority of people are going to spend eternal life in perdition. That's not Nick Moore. That's not mandate, that's not John, that's not Frank, that's what the Word of God says. The 46 billion year old Christ, I just gave him a whole bunch more years.
Yeah.
He said, the one who does not receive me will not enter into eternal life. The thief has no rights.
Wow.
I'm going to bring that home. I'm just toying with y'all right now. I'm going to bring that home in about 10 minutes. Okay. I'm just planting the seed right now. The seed is not money.
I like that.
The seed is the word. I'm not in that camp. I'm not in that religious camp that go through a whole bunch of platitudes and say, you're healed in Jesus' name. That person got a tumor the size of a basketball or whatever. That's called denial. Faith does not deny the facts. Faith does not deny the facts. Faith defies them. So if you get cold, okay, you're not out of faith. You get sick. There's a whole lot of religions and sects and denominations that say you ain't in faith because you say, I got a cold. You got a cold.
You're
rubbing ash on your forehead and ripping your clothes off and, you know, going through all of that. You know, man, listen, man, if you break your leg, are you in sin? We're talking about being mature. We have received the promise of divine health from Christ on the cross. The 39 stripes that he took on his back. The 39 classifications of disease according to the Center for Disease Control. The 39 lashes representing those 39 classifications of diseases. The promise of divine health was given to us when he said, when he went to the cross freely. So what I'm saying to you, don't deny it, defy it. Be defiant. Don't waste a whole lot of energy on a cold. That ain't what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You don't have to go into a 20-day fast because you got a sniffle. That's ridiculous. I'm talking about something that matters.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about the investment you would make in your child. You're serving in the community or in the marketplace. You know, to pray for somebody with a purpose. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Y'all can come on in.
Yeah, you had said, Brother Nick, about somebody who has a tumor or a big mass in them. And then they're going to talk about you need to have faith that God going to heal you. And you got a big mass in you. I see it right there.
Yeah.
See, the problem is fear.
Yeah.
See, I got a big mass inside me, and I'm afraid to let the doctor cut me to take it out.
Yeah.
That, look, I can be healed today.
Yeah. That's it.
I just have to have faith to just let him go and do it.
Yeah.
And take the mass out that's inside me. The devil needs fear like God needs faith.
Exactly.
So
that's
when you walk into the fear realm, you're in the realm of the devil, of the spirit of evil.
Man, that is so good, Frank. That is perfect. This is what we, you know, don't understand in our little frame of mind, our little thinking, is that God is doctors. He's working through professionals, healthcare professionals. He's working through all those people. But because these people don't wear a big silver or gold cross around their neck, you know, we have that. And again, like I said, it's all part of the psychosis that religious controllers use to keep people in bondage. Because people in bondage is good business. It all goes back to money. Good business.
Wow.
That's good, John. That's good. I want to go back to I'm loving this John chapter 10 because I said that the thief has no rights. I'm going back to this again because I'm drilling deeper. And every time I go back in, the Holy Spirit is showing me this stuff is jumping off these pages like, what? The thief, the man with no rights, does not come to you only on the occasion to steal and to kill and to destroy. Okay, a lot of the bad preaching that's going on, an individual gets the impression that the devil is trying to kill you. But your body is of no effect.
No.
Frank just said it. He just said it. That the most prolific weapon in the kingdom of heaven is faith. The most prolific weapon in the kingdom of darkness is fear. There is no fear in the kingdom of heaven. And there is no faith in the kingdom of darkness. What the thief is coming to steal is your faith.
That's it, brother.
He don't care nothing about your bones or your life. He wants your faith.
Yes,
because
yes,
if you don't have faith, you want to hit.
Wow.
See, he needs you. He's trying to bone up his army. He recruiting. See, if he kills you, that's one less person he could have in his army. He need everything he can to fight the belligerent Christ. Let me try to manipulate Brother Nick. Let me get Nick to stop believing in Jesus. Let me put a little hardship in his way. Let me kill off a couple of his kids. Let me help him lose his job. Or let maybe he'll lose his house. Maybe I'll have his wife start gnawing at him about his dream to become a phenomenal entrepreneur. Maybe he'll quit.
Mm.
Look what he say. And then look what Jesus said. I'm aware that he wants your faith. But I have come that you will have life. And that you will have it more abundant. In other words, whatever he does, I have the ability to flip the script. because I'm running the show. He is subject to my authority. So if you believe that the devil really is in control of the earth realm, you're in deep trouble.
Yeah, you in big trouble, man. Brother Nick, man, we should know by now that, listen, man, even the devil, he has to have God permission to do anything first.
Say that again, Frank, and say it a little slower. This.
Yeah, please.
He can't even come close to a believer without God's permission.
Frank, could you say it just one more time and slow it up just a little bit more?
There is no way God is just going to allow the devil, to mess with one of his children without him knowing about it or without him giving him permission to do something.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, the Lord said that for the righteous, Brother Nick, even if he allowed the enemy, the wicked one, to use his rod to come against you, it won't rest on you for long.
That's what the word says.
Because he's only doing it to work out the goodness that's in you already. See, he's working, he's using the devil to work out your goodness.
Frank, that is so good.
Oh, man.
It sure is, man. That's right on point.
That means that even if the enemy come against us, he don't have but a short period of time. And because I know my Father now,
yeah,
I'll do like Paul said, I'll just rejoice for my trials.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Look, that's, I can report right something now because I know.
Yeah.
Come
we
on.
We know it's,
man,
just a minor affliction.
We know it's just a minor thing, man.
So absolutely, Frank. So this is what I'm hearing. This is what I'm hearing. Jesus has denied. it's like you remember Mikembe Mutombo?
Yeah.
Mikembe Mutombo, look, he's standing in the lane and everybody come in to try to dunk and slam and make a layup, and Mikembe swat the ball away and then he waved his finger. Never said nothing, just waved his finger.
Yeah.
You can't bring that stuff in here.
No, you can't do that.
I used to love that, man, because that was so, you know, that was so demonstrative. And so in the same way, all the sin in the world has been forgiven, right? This is what 1 John 2:2 says, that all the sin of the world has been forgiven by Christ's payment on the cross. But this is very important. It doesn't mean that everyone is saved. It does not mean that everyone is saved. That's not what 1 John 2:2 is saying. When the world has been forgiven, he's saying it meant that the payment has been made. Two different things. That means you're eligible.
see, brother.
That don't mean you admit it. That means you're eligible for admission. That don't mean you have been admitted. Is that clear?
That's clear.
I can't say that everyone is born again because they're not. The way has been made for everyone to be born again. In the same way that it has been made for everyone to be free from the curses, demonic oppression, and physical healing. Listen, is it too hard to hear? Is it too bold of a statement to make? Is Brother John still with us?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If I said God isn't healing anybody, and God didn't save anybody today, that payment was made 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Is that too hard to hear? How does that affect the religious paradigm and the magic tricks that are going on Sunday if I say that God ain't healing nobody no more and he ain't saving nobody.
No, you kidding? The entire ministry is based upon that, peddling that hope.
Wow.
The question I asked was, what is the finished work of the cross represent? If it's finished, it's finished. I'm going to say it. Listen, if salvation, was that a part of the process? I mean, was that part of the reason why Jesus went to the cross? Salvation, right?
Yeah.
Would y'all agree or disagree?
Yeah, we agree.
Okay. So if salvation was part of the finished work, and y'all both said it was finished, and healing was a part of the finished work, what are we talking about? It's just a question. I ain't trying to upset nobody.
Yeah.
Why is God still healing people and still saving folks if Jesus did it 2,000 years ago? Is that a fair question?
That's real fair.
If it ain't fair, I mean, correct me. You see, all of this stuff is confusing folks. Because nobody wants to take the time to explain it. Nobody wants to take the time to read, and nobody wants to ask the belligerent Christ. If he was here today, and I said, Jesus, man, this tooth is killing me. He'd say to me, do you want to be healed? Because you told me that you believe.
Yeah.
Now, I could take it out, or I could stop your pain. But to John's point, you know, Dr. Edelman, your dentist, he has the ability to heal you. So why don't you get up off that couch and put the remote down, make an appointment, and go to your dentist.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about, ain't it?
Absolutely. But see, you're missing the point, Nick, rather to these people. They don't want to be healed. All of this plays into this, I think Jimmy talked about it months ago, into this codependency. They don't want to be healed. If they're healed, what are they doing at church? So they take these placebo, sermons and go out that last only a week, and then they come back. They're in need of another sermon now the following Sunday. These people don't want to be healed. They don't want to hear what's been on this show for past 2 years because all this stuff is revelatory truth. They don't want that. They want to stay exactly where they are.
Wow.
My goodness.
Yes, sir.
Listen, if I don't, correct me if I'm wrong, Brother Frank, but didn't the word "it is finished" come out of Jesus' own mouth?
Out of his own mouth.
Do you think that he know what he was saying? Brother Frank, yeah. I'm asking you specifically. This is not a rhetorical question. Do you think that Jesus knew what he was saying when he said, it is finished?
Absolutely, he knew it, man.
Okay, here's the second question I'm asking you, Brother Frank. Do you think he meant it?
Look, he's still meaning it today.
I'm going to ask you a question, Brother John. Frank, one sentence. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Brother John, do you think he did his part?
Of course he did.
Brother Frank, I got another question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think he's waiting on us to grow up in him and quit acting like son and start acting like sons and stop acting like slaves?
Man, want you to grow up right now.
Brother John.
Yep.
Go ahead, Frank. Go ahead. Finish your point.
Why should we be acting like servants, man? That's foolishness, man, in Christ, man. He done caught up way above that.
So, Brother John, God, I'm asking you, I'm going to make this statement, and I'm going to ask you a question. So So what I'm saying to y'all and what I'm saying to our listeners is this. God did not sow a son, capital S-O-N, to reap orphan slaves who don't know who their father is. I'm going to say it a little different. God didn't sow a son or his son, or God didn't sow the word. God didn't sow the word, John 1, God didn't sow the word to reap orphan slaves who don't know who their father is. He didn't sow the word to reap bastards who don't know who their father is. A bastard doesn't know who their father is.
Wow.
He sowed the word to reap sons and kings and priests to the glory of God.
Brother Nick, man, I just got a revelation, man.
Come on with it.
You saying that right there, man. As I sit here, man, and I'm staring right at Adam's ribs, I'm looking at J. Thomas Stroud Jr., Nicholas Carl Moore, Jimmy McClure Jr. God had absolutely gave y'all the revelation to write this book of Adam's rib, and this is the revelation of we are of Jesus' rib.
Yeah. Oh, man.
look, man. Of Adam's rib means that we come out of Christ, man.
Yeah.
Mm. Man, you got it.
look, man. If for our listeners, if you don't have this book, you need to go online and get this book of Adam's rib. And walk through that book slow. I'm here to tell you that this book is explaining to us, man. Look, you have to look past a lot of things and look into the spirit of things.
Yes.
This book is helping us to understand who we are in Christ. See, while most people are focusing on the first Adam, when Jesus sent the second Adam, because of the first Adam fall, he sent the second Adam with the last shall be first. So Jesus is first before this Adam. So actually, the first Adam came out of the second one.
Yes.
He had to come back and let us know, no, don't think that I have fallen. Let me get this correct, because I'm the, they would just say, 40-billion-old Christ. Look, of Adam's rib is a lot deeper than what people think.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He pulled us out of him. Oh, man.
Man, that is so good what you just said, Frank. Yeah. Man, you right there, because, see, this is the thing that drives me crazy about these prosperity preachers. They say stuff like this, that God is going to release something fresh. He's going to do a new thing.
What?
He's releasing a new anointing. He's going to pour out his spirit. The Bible says he already did all of that.
As a matter of fact, Nick, there isn't anything that anyone could do to make him even stand up.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
You don't fuck your seat, Brother Nick. There isn't anything you're going to be able to do. It's finished.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, he said, I done left y'all kings and priests.
Yeah.
And you letting a man say you cursed? You must not be of me.
Yeah, you can't be.
You can't be. No way.
if all of these wonderful prophetic things are going to happen, how come nothing ever changes year after year when you hear these same sounding words from the Lord, or supposedly coming from the Lord? And I would also go so far as to say this. There's not a single solitary place in the New Testament talks about God doing the new thing or releasing this Pentecost anointing. There's no talk of entering a new season or new levels of authority, God's timing. Now is the time of the Lord's favor. Today is the day of salvation, all of that. It's finished.
Brother
it
Nick.
It is finito.
Yes, Brother Nick.
How many languages do you want me to say it? It's done.
I got another revelation.
All right, man, come on. Got me speaking Spanish up in here.
Brother Nick. Brother Nick.
Hey, man, I got a call, man.
Let me say this, man.
All right,
It was finished 40 billion years ago.
Hey, wow. Frank. So
go ahead,
saying,
man,
Frank, are you saying, John, you can't get anything new? Man, y'all killing you, man. You can't get anything new. You don't need anything new. You need to grow up. You need to graduate in church school.
That's it, bro.
Okay, here, let me take a call, man. Y'all messing me up. Y'all getting the callers mad at me. Okay, welcome to Mandate Ministries Uncut. I got a call from 704-778 Exchange. What's on your mind tonight?
Man, last night Django was on chain, but tonight Django was unleashed. Man, I thank God for you, brother, man. Man, you about to make me, man, have a wreck out here, man. I had to get to a safe place, man. I want to drop something on you, man, which I think, and I won't be long, that the Road Scientists appreciate when you guys were talking about, you know, God and a lot of our evangelical brothers, they seem to think that he's a 6,000-year-old God, or this earth is, rather. But I'm just going to throw these facts out, man, and I'm getting off the line. Light travels, of course, at 186,000 miles per second.
Mm-hmm.
I did it not too long ago. 700 million miles per hour. Now, airplanes fly approximately 500 miles per hour, airplanes. Now, the moon is 239,000 miles from the earth. Now, if we travel to the moon by plane, which is at the rate of 500 miles per hour, it would take us 20 days. But light travels there in 1.3 seconds. Now the sun is 93 million miles from the earth. Now to reach the sun by plane, your journey would take at least 21 years. Now to drive your car to the sun, it would take you roughly 200 years to get there without any rest stops. Yet light can reach there only in 8 minutes and 20 seconds to travel from the sun to the earth. Now, I'm just going to drop this on you now. Mm-hmm. Now, the nearest star is 4.5 light years from the earth. Now, to reach the nearest star by plane, it would take you approximately 53 billion years. Now, the average star that you can see with the naked eye without a telescope is between 100 and 1,000 light years away. Light traveling at the rate of 186,000 miles per second takes 1,000 years to reach the earth. That means that there are stars you see at night whose light emanated from them in the days of King Richard's reign in England.
Wow.
And it's traveling at the rate of 700 million miles per hour ever since without slowing down. That light originated 700 years before America became a nation.
Yeah.
What kind of God is that, man?
Man,
I just want to drop that on y'all brothers, man. Peace, man.
That's
man,
good.
That's
great, man.
That summed it up for me right now.
Yep.
Can't add none to that. Okay,
yeah.
I hope y'all enjoyed the show tonight. Come on, Zion, man, you messed my notes all up. Now I got to tear my notes up. I guess we just spend the rest of the night bragging on God. All right, man. Thank you so much for that, brother. That was something, man.
Oh, yeah.
So what do y'all have to say to the science lesson? Dr. John Thomas Child Jr., what grade would you give Brother Zion on his science lecture right there?
Well, he'll get an A to the third power.
All right.
Yep, we got folks talking about our God is the God of the universe, and we don't even know how big our solar system is. Talking about universe. They don't even know what the meaning of the word.
Wow. So at the end of the day, that okay, you're not a sheep. We are his body. He is the head. The head gives the instructions. The body is what moves. We are not his feet because we are his body. He is the head. The head gives the instruction. The body is what moves. We got to wake up. We got to wake up. We got to wake up, y'all. The purpose, the price, non-believers, what triggers these things? You know, the demonology is a part of the fear factor that many people use to keep people, John talked about it earlier, keep folks in bondage. Ignorance and, yes, stupidity are all part of the fear game that keep people locked up to the point where they can't function. Fear is paralyzing. Fear is crippling, and it is ruining an entire generation of Christians. But the good news is that God has a remnant of believers who He has assigned this task of tearing the veil off of the eyes of people, and once again preaching this belligerent gospel. With boldness and just going out to the highways and byways, man, and taking on what we would call the tough issues. I don't really have anything else I want to add, because I don't want to belabor it. I think that Brother Zion pretty much wrapped that thing up tight with a nice bow on it. I want to break the anointing. So, brothers, y'all want to have any final comments? And take your time. I mean, whatever you want to say, and then we'll go ahead and wrap it up.
I'll go ahead first, if you don't mind, Brother John.
Not at all, man.
It reminded me when Zion did that. It reminded me of when God said in His Word to be like Mount Zion. See, God put us in the. He looked at us as a mountain.
Yeah.
Listen, Nick. He's not looking at us as some little T90 something.
No.
This man said, "Be like Mount Zion, man." Mount Zion said at the top of a mountain.
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed.
You know, he, and see, the reason why we're mountains is because we have feet and we have heels on our feet.
Yeah.
So with these feet and these heels on our feet, that means that we have foot heels.
Mountains have foothills. See, the foothills are used to dig in so you can be unmovable. So when we're being like Zion, we're being rooted in God and we're unmovable.
Yes.
See, foolishness, we don't even pay attention to foolishness. People saying foolish stuff like I'm going to be generational cursed.
Yeah.
When you rooted in God, somebody saying somebody you under generational curse just blows right past you, man. You ain't. That's foolishness. Yeah, I mean, but I thank Brother Zion for wrapping it up for us.
Yeah, man.
Oh man, absolutely.
Yeah.
Brother John.
Man, I can't add no more to that, man. That's it.
I think him and Frank did a great job. So
oh, they
man, I don't
did.
Have anything to add to it either.
They did a superb high. Job.
That's a hard act to follow. That brother, you know, taking us all the way out to Alpha Centauri and Orion and whatnot. I ain't get a chance to put my spaceship on, my spacesuit. Listen, man, the good thing about the spirit, man, is that he don't need no spacesuit to travel in the spirit realm. Man, I thank God for y'all, man. It's good to have you back tonight, brother. And then, listen, on behalf of the black sheep and Frank Billions and the rogue scientists and all of our incredible followers and callers, man, we just thank y'all so much. For next week, we're going to talk about, I know this is going to upset some folks, but we're talking about trial sermons next week. I don't get it, man. These trial sermons, man, we got to talk about that. I'm still scratching my head on that. The subtitle is either you have it or you don't. So, hey, listen, y'all know where to find us. Y'all go to mandateministries.com. Go to the contact page. All these brothers' links are on there. Frank and John, myself, and Brother Zion are writing these books. And tune in Wednesday nights for Zion Speaks Radio with Brother Zion and Brother Samson. And, of course, Thursday nights with the crew, man. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all, man. We always say, man, be strong, believe in yourself, and don't be afraid. Blessings.
Figured out that by switching to Metro PCS, she gets two free smartphones.
Your barbecue ribs are the best.
Take the rest home with you, Sarah.
Just like she figured out that by visiting her in-laws, she doesn't have to cook for the rest of the week. You too figure it out. Get two free 4G LTE smartphones from top brands like Samsung and LG after instant rebate when you switch. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figure it out. Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included. See store or metropcs.com for details and terms and conditions. Sarah figured out that by switching to Metro PCS, she gets two free smartphones.
Your barbecue ribs are the best.
Take the rest home with you, Sarah.
Just like she figured out that by visiting her in-laws, she doesn't have to cook for the rest of the week. You too figure it out. Get two free 4G LTE smartphones from top brands like Samsung and LG after instant rebate when you switch. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figure it out. Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included. See store or metropcs.com for details and terms and conditions.